Awareness comes upon you slow at first. The tether from you to your mistress awakens in your mind, and from it spreads energy to every cell in your body, animating you with something other than the mere paltry respiration, heartbeat, pumping of blood that others have. Your body is animated by her will, and you feel that will, like word after word, command after command, lancing through you. That you were naturally a little submissive in life is really only a benefit. She chose you well. You rest comfortable and ready on one of the recovery beds that flesh and blood familiars would have to use. You are flesh, but you're not blood. Will and magic pump within, and all it takes is a caress of the sorceress's hand to set you completely aright again. No matter what the nature of the conflict out there in the arena, be it force of arms, wrestling, struggling, or pleasurable, arousing sessions of play. Whatever the contest, you can be restored to your default state with ease. The only issue for you is, loyal servant though you may be, you are still naturally submissive, horny, under her thrall, and enjoyably so, but also vulnerable to pleasures and temptations, to caresses and chemicals from the various creatures who might be pitted opposite you, monster girls and familiars, ghosts, spirits, even apprentices of the rival sorceress. Whatever you face in the arena, you feel your body, you take inventory, because the singular command she has beamed into you is only to awaken, which is like telling you to get ready. You aren't required to do anything just now, so you begin marshaling your mental reserves. You don't have to think, she always issues the commands, but you are permitted to innovate upon them, to receive her commands and do better than. The spell animating you might as well be the same as the kind that might animate armor or clothing, weaponry, or elementals. It is a pure jet of will, which is mingled with memories that once inhabited this body. This body that, though it is undead in very technical terms, is actually kept perfectly preserved in stasis, easily repaired. When you are resting between sessions, you're the lowest maintenance kind of servant there can be. And if she wants to turn you to some sexual wile or domestic servitude, you're fine with that. You're fine with anything. Any command that creeps along the cord and into your mind at her behest is fine by you. Here, the lair of the Enchantress, this entire arena, is a place where glory and prizes are won, and sorceresses do not compete themselves. No one above the rank of initiate can enter the arena. Not that you wield magic directly, but you are the product of it, and that affords certain boons. Just now, her hand upon your forehead, like she were taking your temperature, but you know she's auditing more deeply. You feel your thoughts, emotions, your body, your status being turned over by her spell. A heat that spreads, followed by a cool flush of energy. Your body is how it needs to be. You know you'll pass inspection. It's her art that keeps you this way, after all. And you feel the sense, profound, powerful, of loyalty and gratitude, and the pleasure of her touch. All of that mixes, and you are happy to be where you are. Though you needn't breathe, you still simulate the process. You take a deep, slow breath. Not wasted, it's there to reassure her that you are marshaling your energies, that you are focusing and meditating upon the moment you're in. Breathing in and out. The powerful muscles of your form, your awareness of sexual technique honed on your knees for her, there to pleasure her. All of it is present, like a library of techniques you could access. She will use her judgment from above, watching the match, directing your actions, calling out commands, and it will fall to you to carry them out, to experience peril and pleasure at her behest and in her honor. The baseline command she'd been beaming into you, to rest there but awaken slow, changes to a command to rise. And so you do. She removes her hand from your forehead. You sit up, bending straight up from the waist in a way that would be impossible for someone of flesh and blood, but your body moves as you will it, and your will moves as she directs it. And so you're sitting on the edge of the bed a moment later, and opening your eyes. She's running a comb through her hair now, seated at a vanity in the corner. Often a lot more time goes into preparing for her appearance than worrying about you. You are a reliable servant with a decent track record. Better than most. You win more than you lose, and that's enough to put her on a positive streak. Accord her no small amount of fame for the spells that protect and drive you. And also allow her to claim a prize at the end of each season. You're happy to serve her, and with your eyes upon her, in her flowing dark green gown, her many rings adorned with skulls, the jewels on her diadem, you take it all in, and her face, her lips, her eyes fill you with pride and desire and an awareness of precisely who you belong to. Natural submissiveness that far predates ever meeting the sorceress fills you, and you nod, affirming the command of hers that is playing in your head again and again. You want to follow. You want to march out to battle, carry out her will, her whim, her desire. It is only ever one word, one simple command. This is partly because the degree of telepathic communication allowed in these fights is limited. She could convey so much more than simple commands. But rules are rules, and to keep it from becoming a contest of who can most effectively create a doppelganger of themselves with low enough power to go in, it is required that sorceresses use creatures with a certain level of self-awareness. This also makes contests predicated on pleasure or seduction more possible and more entertaining. No matter how loyal you are vulnerable to pleasure, seduction. Every creature that wanders into the arena at their mistress's behest is vulnerable in some proportion to physical or seductive attempts. You would say you're a lot more vulnerable to seduction than you are to a physical assault. Your body is hardy, your reflexes are sharp, despite what people may think of undead. You're really a creature animated of energy and command, a combination of will and power. Just being near her recharges you, refills you. You'd say you enter every conflict at about 120% of normal capacity. It's not so for those who bring harpies or salamanders or earth elementals. Though some can charge an elemental, only an undead servant just so passively buffs itself by hanging near its creator. That's your benefit. And it means she tries to spend time in physical contact with you. Having tied her hair back to keep it out of her eyes, she actually is rising up now, walking to the edge of the bed, sitting in your lap, scooping one arm behind you, pulling you to her bosom, running her fingers down your back, all affectionate gestures. And she doesn't make a big show of it. Her facial expression is impassive, but this kind of skin-to-skin contact, the warmth of her, the closeness, amps you up and makes you feel like you could do anything. The confidence accompanying the presence. Your body takes on the heat of hers when you're this close, and so you are closer to how you felt when you were flesh and blood than you ever otherwise are. Kiss. The command comes into your mind. You lean up toward her lips and sensually, slowly, bring your lips to hers. Never extend your tongue, just kiss lightly. But she kisses back with passion and vigor, raking her nails down your cheek, down onto your neck, onto your shoulder, gripping. Power fills you. You feel the enchantments around your body subtly shift. She must be preparing you for the fight to come with modifications. Heat. On the surface of your skin and between your legs, your arousal grows, grows. She purrs something in your ear. It's time. That command causes you to stand, scooping your arms under her, lifting her. She giggles and seems to enjoy it, but then levitates out of your hands just as quickly, sliding to the floor, pulling her heels out from underneath the bed, slipping them on. And preparing to walk toward the large double doors that lead out to her part of the arena. A set of stairs lead down to your entry door, where you will wait until you are called, until your bout is ready, prepared to win points, prizes, glory in her name, and to demonstrate her skill, to be a walking demonstration of her skill. As she walks toward her door and sashays her hips a little, you watch her ass, feeling your arousal amp up. Yes, something about whatever she delivered with that kiss has added more arousal to your system, but also more heat to your skin. You feel like a fire is burning from within. You wonder what that's about. And walk toward the stairs down. You're sure you'll find out soon enough. With her preparations, victory is a virtual certainty. You always know that. And even when it doesn't come, you know you could achieve it another time. Growth is not turned off for those like you. It is just slower. And your coordination has changed, too. Because your mind, sped up, made agile by her magics, is thinking about every inch of your body deliberately. Nothing automatic, nothing autonomic. You have greater coordination and precision. A slight decrease in speed, but your reflexes are still there. Maybe it's memory and the parts of the brain that's animated. Or maybe it's because you are perceiving everything else slower with the amp in your brain. This also means that when she caresses you or kisses you, it seems to take longer. You get to savor it for longer. The stairs flow away. There is a door. And beyond it, a sandy arena where you will, today, fight. Of course, the arena could change to anything, but usually it is just sand which can be replaced. Exhibition matches are not warned to the servants, and the information that can be given to a familiar is limited. Your mistress might know more, but her preparations are limited too. You don't trouble yourself with that. You just press a hand upon the door. It recognizes you, the one who should be entering, begins to glow. It isn't opening yet, which means either the other competitor isn't there, or the match hasn't been called. There are time periods, and sometimes last-minute changes of competitors. It's never boring, and largely at the whim of the great enchantress who runs the place. You stand there breathing slow, still feeling that silver cord of connection tugging upward and to the side, toward where your mistress is, above you in her private box, attended by waitresses, as all the boxes always are. You've waited up there when her other familiars went to battle, jealous that it wasn't you. But she chooses you so often, those feelings have now been obliterated by pride, by connection, by comfort. You are linked to her, and she will send commands down that telepathic cord into your brain, and you will carry them out. Your body feels lighter. The warmth from her kiss remains, so it must be an enchantment, not just the pleasure you feel from her deliberate contact with your body. Good. You love when she spends the limited additional magic she gets on you to assure your victory. You flex your muscles. You need no particular weapon. You squeeze your legs together, trying to quell the arousal that is the apparent price of whatever spell she placed on you. Everything here has a trade-off. Everything in this place can be swapped for something else. Your statistics, your scoring on the little programs everyone has out there, changes match to match. You're very customizable, and you thrill to think of all the ways she might customize you, use you, command you, if, no, when you win.